What's up, everybody? Okay, knock it off. That's quite enough. So we're wrapping up our series today called Trolls. And if you haven't caught any of this, or you don't know what the heck a troll is, we're not talking about like the gnarly under the bridge trolls, you know, that jump out and eat human babies or anything like that. We're talking about trolls kind of in pop culture. You know, if you get on Twitter or Facebook, or I've discovered, and you know this, if you see anybody that posts a blog or anything like that, the scum of the earth lives in the comment section of blogs. Have you seen this? Anyway, don't go looking. Like, you'll get so angry. But anyway, that's what a troll is. A troll is just somebody that just kind of nagging at you and coming at you and always trying to be negative and bring you down. And so what we've talked about kind of up to this point is that if we're not careful, there's a troll inside of us that's waiting to get out. It's so easy to be negative, and it's a little more difficult. It's a lot more work. It's a little more intentional to be positive and encouraging. I heard a statistic, or you know, a bit of research about this the other day, because we were talking about the words that we speak and the power that they have and all of that stuff. How many of you guys have chitlins? Like kids, that would be children, right? Okay. If you've got kids, I heard this the other day and I was like, dang it. Because, you know, usually anything I hear about parenting, I'm like, oh, screwed that one up, right? But when you're taking your kids to school or you're getting them ready for school, the way that you talk to your kids and the things that you say to your kids before you drop them off at school has a huge, it basically determines the kind of day they're going to have at school. You can't tell me there's not power in the life, or, you know, power of life and death in our tongues, the words that we speak. And so if we encourage our kids, which is really hard to do in the morning, because my kids are slow. I have black children. They are slow. Tell me the truth. I saw this Christian, you know, the little Christian meme things, like, you know, they're all goofy. I saw it and it was like, I know God's not black because he's always on time. And it's just true. Look, that is not a racist statement. That is a true statement. I have a ton of black friends, and they are always late, always. So anyway, the point is just simply that we have to choose to be encouraging, and there's a lot of value and there's a lot of power in our encouragement. If we're not careful, we can become trolls and we can be negative. And then we talked about last week how we have to forgive the trolls, because if we don't forgive them, that's how we join them. We become like them by not, you know, allowing, or if we become like them by allowing the things that they say to harm us and cause bitterness, resentment, hatred, all of that stuff. And that's how you become a troll. So today what we're going to talk about is how to kill a troll. We're going to kill a fool. I pity the fool. I pity the troll. I don't know. So anyway, that's what we're going to talk about. And so kind of, you know, going back to some of the mythology of trolls and the trolls that actually do live under bridges and eat human babies. You know how you kill a troll? Anybody? Any nerds? Yes, thank you. Any nerds that watch The Hobbit or anything like that, you know that sunlight kills a troll. So what we're going to do today is we're going to shine a little light on the situation, right? And that's how we kill trolls, is with the light. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, you are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. You light it up. You put a little light on the situation. You let everybody know what needs to be known. In the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Like, we all know that one, right? Let me tell you a funny story about Shelley. Well, I have two funny stories about Shelley. One, she almost killed me last night. Two, I'm not going to give you any detail on that one. Two, Shelley has always been very flamboyant and kind of, you know, very outgoing and boisterous and all of those things. So, you know, usually, like, when you're in the first grade and they have a talent competition, like, little kids will get up and suck it up and sing, like, this little, or, I'm sorry, Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star, right? Twinkle, and they're just terrible. And everybody's like, yay, stop it, right? Have you never been to one of these? Okay, they're bad. Kids can't sing. Shelley has always been an exception. So she goes to, you know, this first grade talent show, and she has her little outfit and tap and all that crap on. And she starts singing This Little Light of Mine. But she's got like this, her own rendition with her own verses. And she just wears it out. I've seen, she's told me about it. I'm assuming everything she says is true. Gotta be true. So anyway, Shelley sang This Little Light of Mine when she was a little niño. So what we're going to do is we're going to talk about how to kill a troll with the light that we should be able to shine on the situation. And there are different approaches kind of depending on the situation that you face. This is really cheesy, but we have to choose which bulb to pull out depending on the situation we're facing. You got to decide if it's fluorescent. They got LED now, which are really expensive, and they work really well. I mean, you need soft light, or do you need, like, the reveal light, really white, bright, you know? I don't know. Just I'm digging a hole, and I can't seem to stop digging the hole that I'm digging. So the first thing that we need to do is we have to understand that some trolls have to be killed with kindness. And we started talking about this last week a little bit. It says in Romans chapter 12, you remember this one, that we were all like, right? It says, when somebody does something evil to you, don't repay evil for evil, but return good for evil. And if they are hungry, you feed them. If they're thirsty, you give them something to drink. And by doing this, by doing good in return for evil, what you do is you kind of kill them with kindness. It says that you heap coals on their head, which is really, if you think about that for a minute, that's pretty morbid, right? I mean, that's pretty hardcore. Hey, come here, let me put this charcoal on your head, right? Anyway. So that's what we do. And what's really interesting, you can go back thousands of years. Go back to the book of Proverbs, which was written thousands of years ago, right? Because we're going back thousands of years. And it gives us some really good insight to that. And what's interesting to me about that is that we're learning things about trolls from things that were written thousands of years ago. So it means that there were trolls thousands of years ago. And this is not, so it's not a new condition. This is a condition of the human heart, and the human heart has always been in humanity. So there always gonna be, there always has been, there is right now, there's trolls, and we just have to know how to deal with them. So in Proverbs chapter 15, verse 1, it says this, and remember, we're killing them with kindness. Think about this. A gentle answer deflects anger, but harsh words makes tempers flare. And this, you know what's good about this is, like, dude, I don't care if you're not dealing with trolls. If you have any kind of relationship, unless you live alone in your basement and play World of Warcraft all day, then this is helpful for you. Like, if you have any kind of relationships, you need to know this. I need to know this. Like, with my children, with my wife, with my friends, a gentle answer deflects anger, but harsh words make tempers flare. And so we have the power to choose. Just, man, this is so important. I mean, we got to get this, because so many people blame everybody else for the problems that they create. And that's just not it. As Christians, as people who follow Jesus, you need to own your issues, and you need to be man enough or woman enough to step up. And if something happens, then you need to do whatever it takes to kind of remedy the situation. So if somebody says something, you have the control in the situation to A, make tempers flare, make it worse, make drama even more dramatic. Or B, you can watch your mouth. You can say something kind. What'd your mama say? You ain't got nothing nice to say. Don't say nothing at all, right? So choose a gentle answer. I found I like drama a little bit. So, and everything that I have to give to you guys is always related or based on or kind of somehow or another connected to sports. I'm so sorry for that. If you don't get it, that's your fault. You need to get cool and start, you know, getting up on your sports. So I want to give you some examples on how not to respond to this, and then maybe a way that you could respond to this. A gentle answer deflecting anger. How many of you guys know who Carmelo Anthony is? New York Knicks, ball hog, shoots way too much. Never. Okay, I'm gonna stop. I'm not a big Melo fan, but the dude can play. So on New Year's Eve, this was just, you know, 2 months ago. New Year's Eve. He sent out a tweet, you know, got on his Twitter, and he's a twit, so he sent this out. He said, "Happy New Year's Eve. Start the year off right with a pair of pre-release M10s." Those are his shoes. And so he's giving away shoes. Like, you see what's going on here? Melo, I mean, he's got millions of dollars. He can afford, you know, to give away a $200 pair of shoes. Is there not a problem with this? Like, I remember shoes were like 20 bucks, like cool ones. No mas. Like, all you can get for 20 bucks are catapults. That's what I had as a kid. So Melo's giving away a pair of shoes. And so he's like, hey, you know, everybody, get you some shoes, sign up. They had a little, you know, drawing or link you could follow, and they were going to give away like 10 pair of shoes. So just a really cool thing, you know, trying to be nice, trying to build his brand and all that good stuff. And so somebody trolls him. Somebody responds to his tweet that is very good. And this is what he said. How about you win a ring, you beep. You kill me, man, rooting for you all the beep time, and you always disappoint me. Right? You know what's really funny about this? I saw the tweet, and they actually had it all kind of blocked out so you couldn't see some of the language, which was good, right? Because I guess you just have to leave it up to your imagination as to what it is. I'm sure he's not saying, like, you kill me, man, you, yeah, Sorry, I couldn't think of anything. But what's interesting is there are so many misspelled words in this tweet. I'm like, you're a moron. You need to spend more time at school and less time on Twitter, homie. And so this was Melo's response. He's like, I didn't ask for your glazed donut face beep to root for me anyway. I'm like, man, that's good. I mean, you know, you could probably change the language a little bit. So, and it's just, he just came right back at him. And of course, you know, the controversy continues and everybody's like, oh, you shouldn't have done that. You know, you're a celebrity, you're better than that. And it just, it's really frustrating that there's not the same set of rules for everybody. If you're a troll and you're a lowlife, you can say whatever you want to say. But if somebody trolls you, you can't say what you want to say, which is a great example for us because we play by a different set of rules. And we'll get into that in a little bit. And so don't respond kind of, you know, anger for anger, harshness for harshness. There's a better response, and which is really, really, really ironic because it's, do you guys know who Richard Sherman is? If you know anything about Richard Sherman can't keep his mouth shut. Like, he's got the loudest mouth on the face of the earth. If you remember the NFC Championship game, San Francisco got beat by Seattle on a last-second play when Richard Sherman tipped the ball to another dude. He caught it. And so afterwards, he ran up to Michael Crabtree, slapped him on the butt, and called him sorry and all kinds of other things, all on national TV, right? This guy has a very, you know, very little control over his tongue. But then it was just really interesting. After they won the Super Bowl, somebody tweeted him and was like, you know, you're sorry you didn't even play good in the Super Bowl and you got hurt, you know, karma, something else, blah, blah, blah. And this was Richard Sherman's response to that tweet. I thought this was so good. So the guy's like, Seattle beat Denver, but you contributed nothing and got carted off with an injury. And then he said some other stuff. And so he didn't say anything. He just took a picture with the Lombardi trophy and sent it back. He didn't say anything harsh. He didn't say anything mean. That's a gentle answer. And everything that needed to be said is said just like that. You can answer gently sometimes. Sometimes it's okay to set the record straight. But it's not what you say. It's how you say what you say. So answer gently. And I think it's really, really ironic that it was Richard Sherman that was smart enough to figure that out because he usually doesn't. He usually goes the other way. I know this is not easy. This is a difficult thing for us to do. And it seems unfair sometimes that other people can come at us, but we can't come back at them, right? Yeah. Right? Anybody else feel like that sometimes? Because, I mean, let's be honest. What's your natural response? You finna get knocked out, right? But we don't have the right to respond to them the way that they come at us. Like, we play by a different set of rules. Man, I've heard so many kind of variations of this. But if you're a follower of Jesus, like, you gave up your rights when you took up the cross. Like, it's just that simple. It says, you know, we die daily, we take up our cross to follow Jesus. And when we do that, when you take up your cross, you give up your rights. You give up your right to be right. You give up your right to say what you want to say or to live how you want to live or to do what you want to do. Like, it's not your right anymore. You're living under a different set of rules. And like I said, our natural response to criticism is to criticize. Like, if somebody points out a particular area in your life that you're struggling, what do you want to do? You want to find an area in their life that's kind of, you know, suspect and come at them for all of their shortcomings. Because, you know, in Christianity, this is the way that we do that. Well, you can't talk about the splinter in my eye when you got a plank in yours. That's a scripture. That's Bible, people. Jesus said that, right? And so that's how we want to do it. But, man, sometimes it's better to be gentle and not come back at people and say things because you just perpetuate the stupidity. Our flesh wants to lash out, especially when the trolls are saying things that are just not true. Have you ever had somebody say something about you that just wasn't right and it wasn't true? And you really, I mean, I don't know how girls feel about situations like this, but I know dudes, like, something just, like, channels from the brain to the fist, right? And it takes everything you got not to knock somebody out. I don't know. I know this is not an easy thing, and if you're a girl and you do that, that's just awesome. But don't. I know this isn't an easy thing to do, but if we look at the bigger picture, I think we would all agree that this is a better way to live. Because when you respond to harshness with harshness, what are you doing? You're just creating more drama, more contention, more problems. And usually, we're the ones that end up looking bad. Because idiots are going to be idiots. We're supposed to live to a higher standard. And so we're the ones that kind of get painted in a poor light when we respond. Does that make sense? And so let me give you a couple quick examples of this being the method to employ, like, kind of, you know, killing them with kindness. A couple of examples when we can use this. I think it's okay to use kindness when the truth needs to come out. It, like, I think that was a really good example, the Super Bowl trophy. Like, hey, dog, you know, what if you guys grew up playing sports, what do you always say when somebody's talking crap on the field? Scoreboard, right? Do you ever do that? Not if you went to Diana. It's like, don't look at the scoreboard. I'm just kidding. Pine Tree, especially. I'm sorry. Sorry. I came at myself first, and then I went at somebody else. But it's okay to kill them with kindness when the truth needs to come out. If somebody's saying things about you that just are not true, then there are times when it's advantageous to let the truth be known. And again, it's not what you say. It's how you say it. It says in Proverbs that our reputation is more important than riches. And so if somebody's attacking your character and saying things about you that would, you know, destroy your reputation, then you are absolutely at liberty to set it straight. Just make sure you set it straight right. You don't have to be a jerk or a dillweed, because then the reputation that you're trying to set right looks worse, you know, worse than maybe it did before because of the way that you responded to the situation. The second way that, or the second reason we should use this one is because we see that the troll has potential to be helped. Like, remember, if you remember the motive of a troll, hurting people hurt people, and trolls are hurt people that are hurting people because they've been hurt. And so if you see that maybe, just maybe, they have potential to be helped, then it's okay. This would be a great way to kind of be some light to them and offer some hope to them and let you model the love and forgiveness and grace of God to them when you respond gently and softly toward them. Does that make sense? So those are really the only two situations where I see this killing them with kindness coming into play. Unfortunately, the second way that we're, or second kind of, you know, thing we're going to look at has to be used more than killing them with kindness. And it's just this: some trolls have to be killed with silence. Yeah. I think the majority of us, if we put duct tape on our mouths for a day, we would die of spontaneous combustion. Right? Like, I mean, the statistics, they change every day, it seems like. But how many words we say in a day, and, you know, apparently women say 450 million and guys say like 20,000, something like that. I think that's pretty accurate. It's not true. Just Shelley says 450 million. And it's what's so funny about this, like, God has such a sense of humor. Because, you know, if you haven't figured this out, you will. Like, God created men and women completely differently. Okay, so for me, and maybe it's just personalities or whatever, like, I don't mind getting up in the morning and chit-chatting. By the end of the day, I'm done talking. And Shelly, like, she's just getting started at the end of the day. It's like, I'm trying to go to bed, and she's like, do you remember this? You want to talk about this? And I'm like, no. And so it's very interesting. So some trolls, Shelly's not a troll, but some trolls have to be killed with silence. There are other situations that we're going to face where it's better to say nothing at all, right? Coming back to what your mama told you when you were a kid and you were fighting with your brother or your sister. If you ain't got nothing nice to say, don't say nothing at all. And most of the time, let's be honest, most of the time when somebody's coming at you or being negative or being a troll, you don't have anything nice to say. So it's better to shut it up and not say anything at all. And this may be the hardest thing you ever do, because I know some of you just love to chit-chat, right? Chit-chat. Again, we aren't called to live by the same standard that everybody else gets to live by. It says in the book of James, this one is fun. It says in the book of James that we're supposed to have control of our tongues. It says this. It says, those who consider themselves religious and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongues deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless. Like, if you're Jesus people and you go to church and you do your little Jesus thing and you worship and, you know, you're a good little Christian boy or girl, and you just run your mouth constantly and you talk about people and you backstab and you gossip and you yap, you deceive yourself and your religion is worthless. I didn't say it. Get mad at James. He's dead. Failure to be able to control your words indicates that you have some issues in your life that you need to look at before you start worrying about trolls or anything else. Like, if you can't control your tongue, then there's something going on in your heart, because they're directly connected, right? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And so you've got heart issues if you can't control your tongue. And so when you don't control your tongue, all that does is it makes drama more dramatic. You perpetuate the situation. You make mountains out of molehills, right? Because, you know, somebody says something about you, that's a molehill. You say something back to them, it has become a mountain. Going back to the book of Proverbs, it says this. In Proverbs chapter 26, verse 4, it says, do not answer a fool according to his folly, or you will be like him yourself. That is so good. Like, okay, let me break this down for you for everybody that went to New Diana, right? Fine education system. A fool is a troll in our context. Do not answer a troll according to his folly, or you will become like him yourself. If you answer a fool, if you answer a troll and you respond to him the way that he wants you to respond to him, you have become just like him. And that's just an apt description of how this goes down. If we respond to trolls the way that maybe even we want to and the way that they want us to, we've traded in our set of rules for their set of rules. We're playing their game their way. And that's just not the way we're supposed to do this. Let me help you understand this a little bit better. I'm learning this. You can't help crazy. Like, some of you have crazy people in your life. I have some crazy people in my life. And you know what I'm discovering? You can't help them. Like, you're not that good. Like, Dr. Phil can't help them. Oprah cannot help them. They're beyond that point. I don't care how smart you are, how quick your words are, how, you know, you can be, they can say whatever they say and your retort is just brilliant. You're not going to help crazy people. Like, you're just not going to do it. God is the only one that can change the heart of a troll. You're not that good. And so it's just important to understand there are some people that it's just better to not say anything to. It's better to let silence kind of reign in the situation. No matter how compassionate or intellectual you are and you know, your desire to help, there are some situations where it's better to cierra la boca. Let's close your mouth for all of you Spanish-speaking people. We're bilingual around here. We got two services, you know, doing our thing. Just kidding. The greatest example, there's a really good example of using silence to kind of take a situation and take control of a situation. And Jesus did this. You guys are aware probably of all of this. Jesus was brought into court, accused of a crime that he didn't commit. They had to corroborate, like, you know, they got some deadbeats together, and they said, oh, yeah, we're going to get him like this. And so they kind of created a story and said they heard Jesus say this and this and this. And so by the mouth of two or three witnesses, everything is established. That was kind of the law at the time. And so what they did is they convicted Jesus of a crime that he didn't commit. And so he went to their court. They sent him, you know, basically through, I mean, the court has always been red tape, I guess, apparently. So, you know, they had to go to several different situations and venues and all of that stuff. So finally he ends up with Pilate. And so Pilate is kind of the Roman ruler of that particular area. And so there's this exchange between Jesus and Pilate. And then Pilate goes out and talks to the people. He's like, look, I don't see anything wrong with this guy. I'm going to turn him back over to you. Everybody freaks out. They're like, kill him, right? You know, they say, crucify him, crucify him. So that's kind of where we pick this up. Pilate heard this, heard the people wanted Jesus dead. He was even more afraid, and he went back inside the palace. And so he starts talking to Jesus. He's like, where do you come from? He asked Jesus. But Jesus gave him no answer. You want me to read that again? Do you refuse to speak to me? Pilate said. Don't you realize that I have power either to free you or to crucify you? And then finally Jesus answered, after, you know, I guess the silence had been enough, Jesus answered, you would have no power over me if it were not given to you from above. He just kind of let it be known that Pilate's not in control, God is in control. And man, that's huge. Like, I think, like we talked about last week, forgiveness is an exercise in faith. Like, keeping your mouth shut and not responding to trolls really just exhibits our faith. It's an exercise in faith. We're letting whoever it is that we're dealing with be known that you don't have any power over me. The power in the situation is God's. And I'm exercising my rights to shut my mouth and show God that I trust that he's in control in this situation. And it's just amazing to me. Jesus's life was on the line. Like, he knew what was about to happen, and he could have very well talked himself out of the situation. He could have told Pilate whatever Pilate wanted to hear. He could have, you know, made this up or said this or even just spoke the truth, or him and he's Jesus, he could probably just kill him and walk out. I don't know, right? But he said nothing. And I think there's just a great principle or moral to that story for us. If he can do that with his life on the line, why can't we do that when we're just dealing with a low-life troll? Why do we have to respond the way we want to respond? Why do we have to say what we want to say? If Jesus could stay quiet when everything was on the line, he knew, man, we know, like, we've seen, you know, the passion and all of that stuff. We know what he went through. He knew what he was about to go through, and he chose to remain silent. You have the right to remain silent. And sometimes that's the best way that you can deal with a troll. Man, I heard this quote at one point in my life, and it's probably in the top three of the most powerful quotes I've ever heard. Gentleness, this is not it. I'll get there in a minute. But gentleness and encouragement should just be kind of the natural overflow of our heart. So this shouldn't be too hard to incorporate into our lives, like answering kindly, gently. Like, and look, nobody's perfect. Like, you're going to have days where everything just kind of gets on your nerves, and maybe you say something you shouldn't say, and so you got to go say, I'm sorry for whatever you said, right? Okay, just making sure everybody knows. We're not there yet. We're not perfect. We're trying, okay? But gentleness and encouragement should be kind of a natural part of our lives. It's part of the overflow of the heart that God has given us of grace and all of that stuff. So this shouldn't be something that's just unbelievably difficult to incorporate into our lives. And I think it really helps us to kind of see the importance of this when we, here's the quote. It says, you can make a point or you can make a difference. And when we respond the way that we want to respond, we're just trying to make a point, right? Like we grew up where it was so important to get the last word or to one-up somebody or to win the argument or whatever it was. And that's just not really the best way to live. You can make a point or you can make a difference. You can say what you want to say and prove your point, or you can answer kindly or not answer at all and make a difference in the life of a troll. Man, those are the two options that we have when it comes to dealing with trolls. That's really it. We can lash back at them and make our point loud and clear and accomplish nothing, or we can answer gently or sometimes not at all and make a difference. The choice is yours, right? It's up to you. Like, it's all on you. It doesn't even matter what people say. It doesn't even matter how they say what they say. The choice is still yours. And they could come at you and come at you and come at you and come at you. The choice is still yours as to how you respond to that situation. And if you want to kill a troll, that's how you do it. Use a little bit of light. Amen? Let me pray for us and then we'll bounce. God, thank you so much for everything that you do for us. God, we thank you for your great love for us. God, we'll never comprehend it. We'll never fully understand it, but we can definitely appreciate it. God, I thank you that you've given us such good examples of what it looks like to deal with people, God, who aren't on the same page as us or who maybe are trying to be bitter towards us or negative or whatever the case is, God, that sometimes that we just don't need to say anything at all, and there are other times where we can answer kindly and we can answer with gentleness and make a difference in their lives. God, help us to never be so selfish that all we want to do is make a point. But God, help us to live selfless like you did and strive to make a difference. God, that's really all we can ask for. God, we love you and we thank you so much for every opportunity that you give us to come together as your church, to learn about you and just try to be a little bit more like you. We love you and we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen.